For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome to the show today. How are you? And I hope your week is going well. Now, today, President Trump arrived in Manhattan for a deposition before New York's Attorney General, Letitia James. And he announced this on Thursday on his social media platform, Truth Social. Now, Letitia, old girl, is going after him for everything. Everything she can think of, everything she can manufacture. And it was business dealings that were legal. It was business dealings that weren't criminal. It was business dealings that there was no crime. And, you know, it was about loans that Donald Trump took out and paid off. The banks didn't have an issue with him. But Letitia James does, because New York is going after Donald Trump. And we can expect this to keep going on. Now, keep in mind, we're in April 2023. We have till November 2024 to do this. That's a lot of time for lawsuits. And this isn't the only one. You've got one in Georgia now, too. So I'm expecting New York, probably another 15 of these things will pop up between now and then. And they're saying that he is damaged goods. He cannot run for president. Well, what's his answer to that? His answer to that is, yo, 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 even if they convict me, Donald Trump will run. Yeah, that's right. No matter what. And, it's really interesting. I never would have thought it possible, but you can actually run for president of the United States from prison. Now, think about that. So, you know, okay, let's say you get it, right? Election day, a miracle happens, you win. You pardon yourself. That's your first order of business. Bada bing, bada boom. And then you go to the big seat on day two of your presidency. When we really think about this, and we have Republicans saying he's damaged goods. He's this, he's that, he's the other thing. Now, this is the assumption of guilt before, if there could, the possibilities even there anymore for him to get a fair hearing or a fair trial, in which I, you know, because it is Trump, I tend to doubt this very, very much. So what choice does he have? Now, the Republicans saying that he's damaged goods and they should look to someone like DeSantis or, quite frankly, anyone else at this point, they're catering to the fact that he's guilty and has to prove himself innocent. Now, these are not nice people. They know what they're doing. They have no problem subverting the American judicial system for their politics. And this is over their preference of a candidate. Now, he happens to be the candidate that is going to straighten out energy, economy, and justice and social justice in America. And that's why they don't want him. So this is, it's really, really incredible how this is going to play out. After the news break, we're going to bring this up a little bit more, because it is an important discussion, and we'll get there. Now, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host you'd like to hear on TNT Radio? Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss? Well, guess what? We want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. It's that easy. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yo, 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 legendary producer and TNT talk show host, Didi Denslow is in the house. Didi, how are you today and what have you got for us?
Oh, very, very well, George. Yo, 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 back to you all the way from the UK. Quick question on the Trump story that you've been running with over the last few days. What happens to all these people that have, well, if let's just say Trump gets back into power, let's say he gets back into power from prison, mm-hmm. yeah? What happens to all these people that have been persecuting? Will he finally, and I know it's quite a large, sort of quite an open question, but will he finally be able to drain the swamp? Because surely these people are effectively criminals for what they're doing to him and to your country.
They are criminals.
Or to the US.
Yeah. But you have a choice. You can steer the country back into clear water again, or you can sit there and take revenge. There is some legal ramifications for some of these people. But the biggest point is to make sure it never happens mm-hmm. to anyone again, either to a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, whoever is there or in any office, or how about any American citizen? Because mm-hmm. that's what's going on. It's not just him. It's people like you and me.
Yeah. It's the persecution of anyone who doesn't agree with them, isn't it? It'll be interesting. You know, I can't help feel that if Trump was to win again, we would just see almost maybe a rerun of 2016 through to 2020, where it's just nonstop persecution of Trump and he can't actually achieve anything, including getting any sort of revenge, if you want to call it that, on his opponents. Anyway, to my story.
You would be amazed at the amount of power the President of the United States actually has. They do not use a third of the powers they have in general. And quite frankly, you know, almost every president tries to increase it through executive orders. Mm-hmm. Now, the executive orders, they can bypass everything. And just declare anything they want. It's a very, very scary power to have, you know, for a leader in a free, supposedly free country to have, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. So you think he might come in and wield the pen and sign off on executive orders, something that he was, you know, absolutely demonized for when he first got into office last time, mm-hmm. only for Biden to supersede him in the number of executive orders that have been signed. Interesting times. I mean, this will be linking into, you know, to Trump and the things that he has been talking about. I see Seymour Hersh has released another article just the other day called Trading with the Enemy. The Ukraine government, according to Seymour Hersh, Zelensky has been using American taxpayer funds to pay dearly for the vitally needed diesel fuel that is keeping the Ukrainian army on the move with its war of Russia. The Pentagon's been paying as much as $400 per gallon to transport gasoline from Pakistan via truck or parachute into Afghanistan during the decades-long American war there. However, what is unknown is how much Zelensky himself is paying for fuel. And what is unknown is that Zelensky has been buying the fuel from Russia, according to Hersh, the country from which Washington and Ukraine are at war with. The Ukrainian president and many in his entourage have been skimming untold millions. In fact, it's estimated that 400 million euros has been skimmed off these diesel payments that have come from America. And and Zelensky and his crew are running around with pockets full of cash in their pockets. It's estimated that the Ukrainian government skimmed as much as 400 million euros and are buying their discount diesel from Russia. Ukraine government ministries have been competing also for export contracts to move weapons and ammo out of the Ukraine into armed dealers around the world. Senior officials and generals in Kiev are unhappy at Zelensky's own personal greed because he has been taking a bigger cut from this skimming effort, this corruption that's seems to be rife in Ukraine, and the corruption has been directly raised with Zelensky by William Burns of the CIA, but the most serious charges have been publicly dismissed by Zelensky. So the 10 most blatant, most obvious examples of corruption, of skimming this money, of Ukrainian officials or generals lining their pocket have just been dismissed out of hand by Zelensky. And my question to you, George, because we're, you know, you are obviously fully aware of the corruption going on in Ukraine. I think the whole bloody planet is by now. Only the fully indoctrinated with the yellow and blue flag can't see it. Will this level of corruption be the undoing of Zelensky? And will the sort of competition that may exist amongst that inner circle, where they're all trying to compete with each other, who could be the most corrupt, who could get the most money, will they look at Zelensky, some of these generals, some of these officers, some of these Nazis, and say, hey, I'm not happy about Zelensky getting 10% more than me? And will that cause internal conflict, opportunities for a coup, leadership contests, etc., within the Ukrainian government, George?
It's going to depend on how the diaspora in Canada, the US, and Australia view him. That's his longevity. That's his ace in the hole. It's the second they decide they're done with him, then, you know, it's anything goes. But we're looking at this level of corruption, and you're saying, you know, about $400 million. People don't know or forget that at the very, very beginning of this ordeal, we're looking at March 2014, the United States sent over $3 billion, which was promptly, it disappeared, into something called Grandma's Cookie Recipes. It was a fund, and no one could trace who had the fund, what the fund was, what the fund did, or anyone that actually worked for this thing. And this was mentioned by Ukrainian politicians on Ukrainian TV. And they're asking, what in the hell is Grandma's Cookie Recipes? They've got $3 billion. This has been going on that long. The level of corruption goes up and down. But it's just amazing. Now here's another bit of news, and it's something that I haven't talked about on the show. Zelensky has a mansion in Crimea. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No.
Now he's at war with Russia, right? Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, apparently. So we're told.
This is the president of Ukraine. He's paying taxes to the Russian government for his house in Crimea right now because he wants to keep it and doesn't want it taken away for taxes. Think about that.
Why don't the Russians just confiscate that property off him then?
Because there's laws in Russia. It's not as easy as it sounds. They actually try to be a law and order society, which means, you know, holding your nose, you know, because there's very distasteful, disgusting people around, you know, but they have, you have your day in court. Is he breaking any laws in Crimea, you know, in terms of his property? Okay, property law, you know, it's just all these different levels of laws. They haven't done it. The property's there. Zelensky pays his taxes, so he gets to keep the property for now.
Maybe Seymour Hersh could put
it's really weird, but
yeah, very weird.
Yeah, it's
very weird. Because I'm like, especially as Zelensky himself is actually pushing for the West, NATO, US, etc., to seize Russian assets and the EU seize Russian assets to help fund the conflict in Ukraine, and yet he's there with assets on Russian land paying taxes to the Russian government, and apparently, according to Seymour Hersh, buying diesel on the cheap from Russia as well to power the tanks and mobile artillery, etc., to fight against the Russians. It doesn't make any sense. It's very weird. And I'll send you a graph.
It was actually one of the biggest things, reasons why he started the war. Russia actually stopped selling diesel to him. They'd been selling diesel all the way through midsummer 2022. I'm not aware that they started to again. I would find that a little fantastic, you know, to be honest with you, because they actually got off. It was actually the transit payments. I'm sorry about that. It wasn't the diesel itself, because they were selling the diesel. He complained that the $3 billion transit fees was what was needed to pay for the diesel that Russia was selling him for the tanks. So, yeah, it may well be, actually. You know, my apologies for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, like I say, I'm only quoting here what has been reported by Seymour Hersh and some mm-hmm. other media outlets. And I also, let me just bring it up. I sent you a graph. I've got a graph here about the aid that has actually financial and military aid that has gone into Ukraine. It totals about 150 billion euros so far. But the interesting thing is, and I'm just having a look at it now. So this is the USA. The USA, according to Statista, has sent 73.17 billion euros worth of aid into Ukraine. But of that, only 3.72 billion was humanitarian aid. And actually, when you look at all the other countries, so actually most of the aid going into Ukraine is purely for military purposes and not for right. humanitarian purposes. But I do have to wonder, you know, this 400 million quoted by Seymour Hersh is probably just the tip of the iceberg, George. It's probably just a fraction mm-hmm. Of the amount of money that Zelensky and his cohort and Azov and everybody else involved in this Ukraine scam are skimming off the surface. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I wanted to add something. You brought up the seized assets of the Central Bank mm-hmm. of the Russian Federation. Well, they actually just now, it was just in the news, they actually had a court decision on it. And it's according to the German Die Welt, the frozen assets of the bank will have to be returned to Russia after the war is over. The European Commission, which was struggling to make up a legalese reason to seize it, couldn't find any legal options to transfer those assets to Ukraine. So that money will be going back to Russia.
Yeah, I'm just having a look now, see if I can find what the total value of seized assets are here, but it doesn't seem to be something immediately sticking out on me on Google. Yeah, well, when this war comes to the end, the Russians will get all their assets back, and it may be Zelensky who's sitting there penniless with all his assets gone or blown up, maybe, because at this rate, there's probably not going to be much of Ukraine left. Poland will have one bit and Russia will have the rest.
Well, unfortunately, you know, he's in a position like Kolomoisky or Poroshenko or Yatsenyuk. They move their assets out of the country as they get close to being unprotected. So if he feels threatened, and I imagine he does right now, his own personal assets are going to, you know, either island banks or somewhere where people can't seize them, Ukraine, you know, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, all the videos that I've seen of Zelensky in the last week or so, they've all been with this white wall background. He looks very, very haggard. I can't necessarily comment on his speech or speech patterns, but he doesn't look 100%. There have been rumors that his health is suffering. You know, are these signs now that the impact of the war and what he's putting himself through is finally starting to tell?
Well, he's really not putting himself through anything. He's putting everybody else. But, you know, the nationalists told him if he loses Bakhmut, they're done with him. And being done with him, they were going to hang him on a tree. Hence, all these people are dying in Bakhmut. But if he starts this offensive that he's talking about, he'll add a little bit more length to the string he's on. So we'll see what happens with that.
Wow, it looks like Bakhmut is close to being close to falling, and it's just now. It's just now like that, you know, the Ukrainians are trying to hang on to something which there's no chance of them saving, isn't there? So, yeah, it won't be long then before he's hanging from a tree, George.
To put it bluntly, the people in Bakhmut are taking selfies at the entrance to the city by the city sign, which says Artemovsk. Ukraine renamed all the cities in Eastern Ukraine just to separate the people from, you know, where they're actually from, you know, if that makes sense. Give them new identities, give the area, all the cities, towns, villages, new identities. They actually did that to my town and the cities around us. You know, I tried to look up one of the cities and it came up something else, and I'm like, where the hell is that? And then I looked at the map, I looked at the roads, I'm like, oh, that's this city. Okay.
That's where I am.
That's how it shows up on yeah, exactly. But that's how it shows up on Google Maps. I mean, it's just it's crazy. But you know, it is the way it is right now.
Well, let's hope it all draws to an end sooner, as soon as possible, because I get a bit, I'm not gonna say I get bored talking about it, but it does sometimes feel that, you know, the conversation surrounding the conflict in Ukraine almost come a little bit repetitive. So I promise to bring something completely different. I've got something lined up for you tomorrow, George. And as for Zelensky,
I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on, you know.
Unfortunately, it's the news, isn't it? So it's the news. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've got something. I'll have something different and maybe a bit left field for you tomorrow, George. So we'll keep that as a surprise, eh?
I feel, you know, I've been talking about this every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even something new happens, it sounds repetitive because it's the same type of thing. People died, you know, and you say that every day, more people died. You know, a city was hit. Atrocities happened. And you're saying it every day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is, you know, as difficult as it is to hear, these people have lives that have value too. And even for me, and I've been at this for 9 years covering this war, it gets, you just want it to be over so you don't have to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's like background noise. Yeah, it's sort of constantly there, and you can sort of you could ignore it and forget about it, but it's constantly there. And obviously, I haven't been talking about it for 9 years. I've been doing 7 months so far, George. But sometimes I present you a story, and I think, oh, here we go again. It's you know, day. It's the, you know, 7 months, and I'm still sending the same sort of stories to the people that I provide headlines to. And I worry. I go, oh God, is George getting bored of this? Because he's living there. He's living there in Russia, experiencing some of this.
So. It's the fact that it keeps happening and it is repetitive. I'll give you an example. I talk about Idar Battalion, Ukraine's Idar. You don't hear about him much, but they were at a town called Popasnaya. They had a concentration camp there, a real concentration camp. And they were doing real concentration camp stuff to the people that lived in the city. There's mass graves there. They were dismembering people. They were torturing people. They were, you name it, they were doing it. Whatever you'd expect in a concentration camp. But that's not the first concentration camp that's been in this conflict. Pravi Sector had them. Azov had the first real mass concentration camps. They had forced prostitution. They were murdering the girls when they were done with them. And I mean, it is just, that was in Mariupol. That's what happened in Mariupol. And it's why the residents there, as soon as Azov came out of the ground from Azov, the Russians and Donetsk army had to protect Azov from the people because they were going to beat them to death. And, you know, it's just crazy. But, you know, that's the reality of this. You're so scared for so long. You feel so powerless for so long. And then the people that put you through all this hell for years are all of a sudden there and they're powerless. And, you know, you can't blame them for wanting revenge. But these people needed to be put through a criminal system. You know, it's sad what happened, but, you know, it is what it is. They got amnesty through a prisoner trade, which is crazy because you're fighting the same people again. You know, but that's just the way it is. Dee, thanks for coming on today.
My pleasure, George, always.
All right, you have a great day, and we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into Donald Trump a little bit. Trump world, Trump mania. This is TNT Talk Radio. We'll see you in a few minutes.
TNT Radio's Steve Hook.
China really ramping up their rhetoric here. China is now running on their state television ads basically telling the Chinese people to be prepared for war, but don't worry, we're going to kick the U.S. and China's ass, essentially. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I don't speak Mandarin, but I know that that's kind of the message that comes through rather loud and clear with these state-run media ads. And what does that mean? Does that mean that they're trying to call Biden's bluff? Well, I don't think they're overly concerned about what Biden thinks, but I do think it's sending a very strong message to Taiwan. As you know, the president of Taiwan came and visited the U.S., and this is their response. They're also ramping up the military activities in the South China Sea. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is things are getting very, very dangerous. Ronald Reagan said years ago, his point was that if you're weak and you show weakness, you're going to provoke hostility from people that no longer fear you because they perceive you as weak. And in the U.S., we are decidedly, I mean, even our own citizens know that we're weaker than we've been in a long time.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
And welcome back. Now, I'm looking at the chat room. Does anybody have any questions about what we've been talking about? Because, you know, that's something that, you know, I need to be a little bit more interactive, I guess. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. Now, I wanted to get into Donald Trump, because what's been going on is actually really crazy. Now, there's been audio recordings that were released by former Fox News producer Abby Grossberg. She was a producer for the Maria Bartiromo show, and I think Tucker Carlson. Now, according to the article, which is MSNBC, she said that members of Donald Trump's team were less confident in private about evidence against Dominion voting systems than was being expressed on Fox and by Trump himself. Grossberg was a senior booking producer and later the head of booking for Tucker Carlson prior to being fired from the network. All these people that get fired come out with these stories. You know, if you're going to come out with news, and do something like that, actually, show a little bit of initiative and that you actually care about something other than revenge and do it before it looks like revenge. So you have some credibility. Now, according to her, though, Grossberg asked a Trump official, it's an unnamed official, right? Okay, if you're going to go this far, why not just name the person? Because you're trying to hurt Donald Trump anyway. If any of the voting machines in Georgia had been looked at yet. And according to her, the official said in the recording, well, I'd have to check on that in terms of Georgia. I know that during the audit, they did check those machines. And all of a sudden, can I go off the record for one sec here? Grossberg replied, yeah, sure. Go, of course. Well, I don't want us to say it if it's not. So she goes, that's why we're checking. And the official says, I think they have looked at the machines. And when the Secretary of State did its audit, there was a lot, I think a fair bit of looking at the machines. The audit came in pretty darn close to what the machine count was with the receipts. So, I don't know what the outcome of those, but our understanding again is that from the Secretary of State's office was that there weren't any physical issues with machines on those inspections. This is pretty wild because those machines didn't actually pass muster the inspection when they were certified. So if this was a real conversation, they should have known that. Now, they're saying that Donald Trump didn't think that, the insinuation is that Trump team was lying. So this is blatantly false. I know this because I was involved in one of the Georgia lawsuits. It was for the runoff election. And for this particular lawsuit, they needed to gain standing. So I got contacted to, research it. What would give them standing? What was going on? So what I found, and this happened during the actual general election, was that the election observers that were there, and this one guy is from Black Box Voting, okay? They pioneered election fraud investigations, and they're the only ones that actually caught Dominion, took them into court and won. So that's important, right? Right. Well, that was under Dominion's former name, Diebold. Now, what they noticed, it was him and another observer, was that the election recount software, the source code of it was continually changing, continually updating and being changed physically, which is against the law. So do the machines have chip paint? Who really cares? Now, this was on the recount at the election, okay, the general election, the election for president. So we have Republican election observers that were kept out. These were favorites of the Democrats, but they were reporting the truth. And this was done in published interviews, by the way. The other thing they noticed is that every table was using a different method to count the ballots. None of the methodologies lined up, so you come up with different counts no matter what you did, which is also illegal because there is no method for counting the ballots. Now, it sounds silly, okay? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, right? Well, no, not exactly. When they count the ballots, they also have to count, check to see, is this ballot authentic? Is it legal? Was it done properly? All right, is it signed? Whatever, okay? And they have to do the checks on it. Well, they were checking different things. The checks weren't uniform. That's number one. Number two, they were letting, you know, if the vote was not clear, they were giving it to Biden. It didn't matter if, you know, and it doesn't mean that, you know, okay, everything should go to Trump. The other part about it was none of this, it was all kept very opaque. The election supervisors at different election points at the county level tried to sue the Secretary of State during the election because they changed the underlying software, the firmware source code for the election machines days before the election. So the machines, again, were no longer certified. They sued. Now, the state of Georgia determines standing based on what the Secretary of State for Georgia says. Now, Dominion is the machine that they chose to do it. Rausenberger, before he became the Secretary of State, worked for Dominion. Where will he go after this? Dominion. And that's just the way that that ball of wax rolled down the hill. So does the Secretary of State have the official say in this? Yeah, if you want official lies. And, you know, so they're saying this, okay, all the way around the country, okay, this, you know, there were no problems with the machines. No, there wasn't any chip paint. No, there wasn't anything like that. When the first investigations into this was going on, it was being run out of D.C. There were two separate camps on that. One was with Rudy Giuliani in one room, his team. The other team was Michael, oh gosh, who was who had that? Mike, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I'm having a brain fart. But the whole thing was being run on their end to generate headlines. I was contacted by them to do a lot of research. First, they wanted to involve China. Find out how China is involved in this. That's what you have to do, George. We know China's involved in this, and you've got to find it. So I looked at it, and here's the thing about investigations. It doesn't matter what the hell you want to find. I don't care what you want to find, because at the end of the day, what's there is there. Does that make sense to you? We don't do this, you know, as an, you know, outcome-based thing. You can't approach it that way because it'll never make it to court if there is something. Even if there's malicious wrongdoing because you approach it wrong, it doesn't make it to court, and they get away with it. So what these people were doing were generating headlines. And it was just horrible. Now, when I did find Chinese involvement, because they wanted to do it through State Street, because State Street wanted the Dominion, so it's got to be there, and it's got to be Hunter Biden in there. Do you remember all those headlines? They asked me to be a part of that, and quite frankly, I refused to. What I did find was Dominion's machines are made by a company called Electronic Lottery and Totalizer. They're out of China, and they are partners of the Chinese government. All the machines were made in China. Now, that, unfortunately, is legal. And I've discussed it before that that company, that Chinese company, also controls 38 counties. They have their own machines there. Now, they make the machines for Dominion. Dominion gave them their software. Literally, the Chinese government has all the software. Yeah, can you believe it? And then when, you know, the election commission signed off on this was the most perfect election, this, that, and there was no foreign interference and no Chinese interference, that particular company was one of the companies that are the experts signing off on the fact that China was not involved in the U.S. election, a Chinese company that's partners with the Chinese government. And if you go to that website for that company, you hit one button, you're at the CCP headquarters, and there's a big donate here button on it in Chinese. You can donate here to the Chinese Communist Party. But it's legal in the United States. So when I pointed all this out, they were stuck on the Hunter Biden China deal. Now, it's not, and that's why I keep putting it out, for whatever reason, it's not illegal for this company to operate in the United States. They're out of, I believe it's San Francisco. They have an office there. But really think about that. What do the optics look like? How moral is it? Not on China's part. I mean, you know, they get a great deal. Okay? Honestly. You know, from a business perspective, you know, bully for them. But from a voter perspective, your own government allows this to happen to elections in your country and then whines about foreign manipulation. Think about that. Now, the guy running that side of it was a guy named Mike Trimarco. And Patrick Byrne was actually helping to fund that and running a lot of the stories in there. And the only thing they were trying to generate, again, were headlines. And here's the sick part about it. They actually set up the situation that allowed Dominion to put these $3 billion lawsuits on everybody involved. You see, the research was supposed to be solid, and that's what everybody was told. The research, what they were publicizing, what they were trying to get out, these two guys. And I tried fighting them on it. It didn't work. They didn't want to listen. I mean, I threw up my hands to the whole mess. You see, there was a lot of manipulation in the election with the election machines, all right? But Dominion themselves didn't do it. Dominion makes a car that cheats and runs red lights all the time, but there has to be a driver in there doing it, okay? It's not illegal to own the car. It's illegal to drive it through a red light. And all they actually needed, and I kept telling them this, at the ward level, all you need is a few wards here and there. You don't want it widespread. So if you're looking for widespread stuff, you're not going to find it, and the evidence is going to be lost in the wash. So when this everything's getting pushed up to Donald Trump, and it was a confusing hot mess that was actually being told to the president. A very confusing hot mess. And he kept being promised, we have the evidence, we have the evidence. And then they push it and they want to investigate the Italians. Then they want to investigate the Serbians. Then they want to investigate these people. Then they want to investigate these people. And I'm like, where does this end? Okay, all we're doing is throwing spaghetti up against the wall. Well, you're going to see what sticks. And they never actually had any desire to resolve the situation, to actually find anything. Trimarco and Byrne, the only thing they actually wanted was to grab the headlines, start to grab a slice of the political pie. Patrick Byrne has an eye on being president at some point, if it's possible. And this is the cheap seat way of doing it, or becoming a kingmaker behind the scenes. It was never about helping Donald Trump find the truth. And quite frankly, what they did was damage a lot of reputations of the people surrounding Donald Trump that were looking, honestly looking, to find out what was going on, because they knew that there had been an attack through the election, all right, on democracy. The results weren't real, but there they were. The thing about the Dominion machines is that there's a tracking feature inside them that's automatically off when you get the machine at Dominion. And this is three different companies, the three big companies that control most of the election machines in the United States. Oh, and in Australia, UK, go around the world with this. It's not just the US. If you go out and vote on a machine like this, your vote is, it may or may not count. This tracking feature is turned off. You have to physically turn it on in the software. And Dominion encourages election supervisors not to. Now, the reason for that is if you go in and you make any changes to the election at all, and you can do that very easily from there, you can delete entries, you can delete votes, you can add votes, you can do all kinds of things like that. There's no tracking of it. So it looks like the original list of events, how things happened as the election progressed, each vote counting. And there is no sign of manipulation at all. All you need is a password. You don't need to hack. And when I tried to push that point on them, I said it would be ridiculous to hack these machines. I said, stop looking for hackers. And they're like, why? I said, because there's over 2,000 passwords on the internet for each one of these machines at the God level, which is the service tech level. No one needs to hack this thing. I said, and there's a password written into the source code in the CCC Plus. I said, I put it in an article so everyone that reads the article has a password to get into Dominion machines. Yeah, I actually did that. If that wasn't enough, you have the complementary machines that go with them. I give the passwords to those two in the article. Well, how did I find that? How do I know that? Because it was on the internet and they were current. So don't go, looking at a Dominion machine and type 0000. Exactly. 0000. No one's going to, look, man, we need it. We need an unbreakable code to keep these elections safe. Okay. I know 0000. There's no one, so no one will ever guess. What the hell? So Donald Trump is being brought up. He's being sued and investigated by the state of Georgia for this. Now, the state of Georgia is where Dominion got their hold, is Diebold. All right. The same exact situation that happened in 2002 happened in 2020. And one of the results of the 2002 election, afterwards, there was a file that was found. And this is by Black Box Voting, the people that investigated Dominion machines and found all the flaws in them. And there was a file called Rob Georgia. Yeah, I got excited about that too. Oh, they're going to rob Georgia. Well, it was a service text file. His name was Rob. So when they talked to this guy, same thing happened in 2002, happened in 2020. They changed the source code, updated it days before the election, which was illegal. It invalidates the election. The machines didn't work right. The machines weren't up to spec for the election. Okay, and it's not a matter of whether the equipment works or not. It's a matter of what they spec'd out at when they were declared fit for the election. All right. Now, Dominion somehow or other got around it because they didn't put all their equipment in for inspection, because the parts of it won't pass it. I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine that, you know, in a democracy, if you could consider something sacred, it's voting. The ability to have an unfettered election. And these people are doing everything they can to tie things down. Now, another thing about Patrick Byrne, and I'm going to actually try to get him on the show. And you can tell we're going to have a friendly conversation. Now, at the same time, he's supposed to be investigating all this corruption, the stealing the election. And I told you he was stealing the headlines. Instead, when they went down to Arizona, what he didn't tell anybody was that his company, Overstock, now he started this company and they created a niche, a market niche that was amazing, ahead of its time, way ahead of eBay, all right? He actually ran the company out of it. Overstock was going out of business and they could not survive in that market anymore. So what he wanted to do was go into blockchain. Take the company into blockchain. Patrick invested the company into blockchain elections, which is actually even worse than Dominion's. It's actually a lot worse. And he wants to do it as a phone app, which is extremely hackable. Only you don't have to go to, you know, a polling station, so it makes it easy. Everywhere he went fighting the election, he brought this company with him, got them a trial in every one of these states. Now he says, well, I left Overstock, so I'm not, you know, making any money off these things, blah, 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 blah. He left Overstock to protect them from the lawsuits he knew were coming from the work he was going to do. This is ahead of the elections, by the way, a year ahead of the elections. He told Warren Buffett that he was going to investigate the 2020 elections that were being stolen because they were being stolen. All right. And he got Buffett's blessing for it. He calls him his rabbi. Right. Well, one, how did he know it was going to be stolen? Two, why was he getting Buffett's blessing? Buffett called him a great patriot. Buffett supports Joe Biden. Buffett hates Trump. Something to think about. I'm George Elias, and this is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great evening.